Off the Ball Daily. A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball. The performance rankings, you had to be there, the crappy quiz, and a slight tangent.
Yeah, Andy is a great teacher in boxing. Great teacher, a great coach, a great person.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Arthur's here. Arthur, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Yeah, good. And Cullum, how are you?
Hiya, Jar.
In the end...
It doesn't really matter.
No one will remember this, right? I think they will.
The most beautiful defeat you'll ever have. It's the first time Abby Darkin's ever attempted a chip or a dink. What a time to make your debut.
Very impressive performance from the Irish manager in particular.
Right? That's the second half coming at all.
Brilliant. Brilliant. We had Sue Ronan, former Ireland manager, of course, and Kathleen on Friday morning. And we were talking about what is Carla Ward's team? What is the philosophy, if you want to call it? What is her Republic of Ireland side? And we had no answers. And after this tie, it feels an awful lot better. But her record's actually really good on paper. They won 7 of their 8 games. It was just that Slovenia debacle, the 4-0 reverse, which was that second game in charge. Last night was remarkable because Tessa Woolert, a legend of the game, her 96 and 97 goals for Belgium last night. The inter-striker. Like those two Belgium goals, like the first goal, you'll struggle to see a better team goal all season. Ripped Ireland apart. And they were targeting Ireland's right-hand side in the first half repeatedly and getting great joy from it. And her second goal, she took full advantage of Caitlin Hayes' botched clearance. Beautiful chip. I thought it was done. Halftime was a brief reprieve from the beating that would occur in the second half. Far from it. Ireland were miles better in the second half, just like they were in the first 20 minutes of the game.
An amazing result. It was, because it had that feel to it.
They could have been collapsed.
I would have given
4-0.
Any money is like, geez, this is a real humbling.
Yeah.
That's the direction it was heading in. But they're just, it was kind of, you're getting to the 60, 70, 80 minute. You're like, they've not really relented control here at all.
Mm. Afterwards, Carla Ward said they didn't talk about the goals at halftime. They just recalibrated a bit, which is interesting, right? That, like, how much impact can you have at halftime, really? I don't know. There's studies being done about it. But by not focusing on the horrific mistake, maybe that's there's wisdom there.
Well, but like it did play that way, because I suppose if you can get yourself into the frame of mind where you're like, we just have to win this half of football.
Yeah.
If that's true, that's actually what happens. The objectivity of it is so impressive. Because even when they went 2-0 down on the night in the first half, Ciara Crusoe won a free kick about 30 yards out. And before the game, to celebrate Katie McCabe's 100th Ireland cap, they were showing her best bits, one of which was her free for Raheny United at the Aviva, which is about 35, possibly 40 yards out back in the day into the top corner. And when Crusoe won this free, it was slightly on the right-hand side, which favoured the left-footer. It was this McCabe time.
Well, they mentioned it.
But Richard Littlejohn took it.
Yeah.
And kind of just floated it gently over the bar. She was hooked at half time. Yeah. And Anna Patton came on slightly out of position in midfield and was brilliant in midfield. And then the other sub, Abby Larkin, won the game or won the tie. So even the decision for Littlejohn taking instead of McCabe, I thought, oh, they're folding here, they're going to collapse. And I thought, yeah, it could be a Slovenia again, albeit better opposition, but it could be a repeat scoreline. I don't know where that second half came from. It started with Emily Murphy nearly scoring when Marissa Shiva gave the ball. The keeper made a great save. Then she played a 1-2 with Caruso, had another shot, Shiva. Do you know what it was? It was a confident.
Yeah.
It was a confident display in the second half. They were well in control.
You'd be really hopeful. I think afterwards as well, she was saying, Carla Ward was saying, yeah, hopefully we get three absolutely massive nations. And maybe that's the right thing to do. It's like, get like three of the best teams in Europe and learn how to play against them. And maybe there's been a period there where we were bad and we're getting back to a period where we might be a little bit better. Mm. So obviously what this means, Division 1, League A, whatever it's called.
Yeah, League A.
And
guaranteed playoff.
That's the real prize here. Yeah. It's a guaranteed player for the World Cup in Brazil.
No matter how you get on in the qualifiers to the World Cup. Huge. Huge reward.
Yeah.
And to continue the confidence, Carla Ward wants her native England. She wants that draw. The draw's Friday week.
Suddenly it's interesting.
Massively. Because there was genuine concern of apathy as recently as Friday morning.
Oh yeah, I think,
do you know what I mean? There was 15,000 tickets were sold by Friday morning for the Aviva Stadium for the first leg. Now it looked decent enough on TV watching. It didn't look like the worst atmosphere of all time by any means. However, the Belgian press conference for the manager, did you see this? In the eve of the game, had to be cancelled because Belgium didn't send anyone over for the game to cover it. So they were having the same issues as us. And we were talking about, you know, what is this Carlo Ward side? Now, what's the opposite of recency bias? It had been a long time since we'd seen Ireland play. So I think they were out of sight, out of mind, the national side. So it's like, oh yeah, this has come upon us. But they certainly didn't feel any of that. They were razor sharp focused. You'd have to say over the tie, the second half of the first half was the only time they played really poorly, Ireland.
Yeah.
In four halves of football. To play only really badly, truly badly for one half of those four halves. It's a pretty good return. Against a side who are 7 places ahead of you in the FIFA rankings. Against a side who did qualify for the Euros, who have mixed results, but they can also beat superior sides. Thought we were well out of the game at halftime. Different story in the second half. Love to know where that came from.
That is the front cover of the Irish Sun this morning. She's the special ton. Dad hails ace as milestone hit. Kenny McCabe's dad, proud after she makes 100 caps. There is something happening when the women's football team are the lead story in the front of the Sun this morning. Will I do some of the other headlines?
Yeah.
There's an interesting mix of stories here before we get to... we should mention Brian Barry Murphy in the quarterfinals of the League Cup.
Yeah.
Beating Wrexham in an all-Wales derby.
Huge. The draw will be made soon.
Tonight.
2012 on the cards.
Tonight, yeah. Brentford pick a pretty strong team. They beat Grimsby 5-0. Slayers of Man United, obviously.
They made 9 changes, I think. I suppose it's a strong squad depth they have, isn't it? Like Fabio Carvalho. Do you remember when he was promising at Liverpool? He scored, I think, their 4th of 5 goals last night.
No, he was at Brentford.
They spent a pretty penny on him, if I recall, for Brentford. And Nathan Collins got the 5th.
So Collins obviously comes off the bench, does he? I didn't see. I should have asked you this before we came on air. But it just with Collins scoring, I'm like, well, obviously he's in their first team.
Yeah.
So they were taking it seriously.
I suppose they may as well.
No, he came on. He came on for Sepp van der Berg, another former Liverpool graduate.
O'Neill returns and insists Bren was great. Bust up won't taint his legacy. So Martin O'Neill has said, like, this is totally temporary. Don't worry, I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
He did repeatedly say that when Jim White got him on the phone yesterday on TalkSport. Did you see that?
I heard about it.
I saw the press conference afterwards where he repeated the same line verbatim.
Which was?
This is temporary. There'll be a young manager in soon.
Young manager. Yeah. Said that. He kept saying young manager. Yeah.
So I wondered, has he been told that Kieran McKenna is the chosen one? Because McKenna is linked heavily in the papers. McKenna is admired by Parkhead power brokers and likely to come under serious consideration. He's 39, from Fermanagh. You know, another Irish manager there. $6 million was what it would cost to get him and his team out. $6 million to get Kieran. Boys will have to fork out huge fees to land Ipswich boss and his backroom team as replacement for Archibald. What do you think?
How big's the team?
It's the contract. It's like he's under contract.
What's he getting paid?
I don't know, $1 million a year?
Good God.
$1.5 million a year?
Negotiate himself a good deal there.
There's a lot of GPA stories, and it's just trying to tie them all together. GPA chief Tom Parsons reckons improving the lot of intercounty players could make them think twice about leaving for Australia. I suppose what else are you going to say, really? If we're losing 40 of our highest profile female Gaelic Games athletes that young people see playing, and those role models are then taken out of our system, it's a huge blow for Gaelic Games. It's particularly bad, I guess, for the LGFA, or it's particularly good for the LGFA. It's like if you want to be a professional athlete, play Gaelic football, be really good at it, and then you can use that as a stepping stone to go to Australia. I would, you know.
I don't think that's going to be their mission statement, to be fair.
No, but like it's the truth, right?
Yeah.
This whole, it's bad for us that people are having a good time and succeeding in life. That always felt a little bit like... Talking to somebody involved in Irish soccer 20 years ago, complaining about the young women who were good getting hoovered up by the college system in America. I'm like, well, it's amazing. They're getting scholarships to go and play football. It's incredible. It's like, oh, it's, you know, it's a drain on our talents. Like, people, if you manage it properly, they'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
We know how important role models are for kids to go into games, to want to go to games. We can only imagine how many kids are pulling out of their parents to go and see David Clifford play. We have amazing female players that had that same pull in Mayo as an example, and they're all in Australia. But they, yeah, I don't know. I think we just need to be careful about demonising people for following their dreams.
Yeah. It's an interesting one.
The only thing you can do is sign a guaranteed contract that you will return.
Which, yeah, it's not, I don't think that's going to happen either.
So basically go on loan to Australia.
Yeah.
Like if Kobe does it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Carlos Tevez style 2-year loan deal. In his case, of course, he went back to his third party. No club.
Getting Kieran will cost you, boys. Celtic will have to work out more than 5 million, it says here in the mirror. So they've negotiated, oh, 6 million euros, sorry, 5 million pounds. Raise your game. Heskey, Emil Heskey, says you, Isak. You're not trying a leg, buddy.
All right.
That must be like, oh, what? You think I'm not trying a leg?
Ah, he had a very good career. Heskey. Don't be coming again. He also went to Liverpool for big money.
I think work rate was one of his better.
Was, 13 million or something.
He was terrible.
What?
Oh, no.
Are you joking me?
I'm sorry.
He often falls into that trap of people thinking he was terrible. He was No.
You're crucially misremembering his career.
When he was at Leicester, right? There's a reason Liverpool paid
unplayable
him.
At Leicester for about 6 weeks.
Liverpool won the treble in 2001, Heskey was crucial.
It's unbelievable.
He kept Fowler out of the team.
Starting for England.
Caused Fowler to be sold.
He was starting for England.
Because a manager makes a bad decision and picks a bad player over a good player.
What are you talking about? A bad player.
With Heskey up front.
They won the treble. The Houllier treble. That one.
That's a scandal.
Joy and pain. England needs past Aussies, but Eurostar Agumang is forced off on a stretch. That's the London Independent. Up with the Lark. This is the Abby Larkin story. There was a reason I was doing this because there was something good. Tony Pulis has got a new column. BBC have been like, whoa.
Oh.
So, and Pulis is like, ha 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 ha. I remember Arsene Wenger used to accuse me of playing rugby. Oh, look at Arteta doesn't care what people think, just like I didn't care when everybody was saying this, particularly the Arsenal fans giving me a hard time.
You have it. Yeah. You have it, yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Pep Guardiola, I don't know where he's done this interview. Is it just a pre-match press conference? But it's carried in the back of the Mail today. Every manager does what they believe. I want to score from free kicks and corners. I'm not naive to that. I want it. But I spend my time on what we have to do to play better, attack better, and create chances to score goals. I will, until the end, continue to work. The end is near. Today's set pieces are a threat. I remember a long time ago, Sean Dyche and Burnley. Burnley were an incredible threat in the long balls, second balls. Dyche is one of the best by far doing these things. It's not new. He did it before. Sam Allardyce. Or do you remember Stoke City when they made the throws? Now it's just more and more teams doing that. Back then, maybe Stoke was the exception. What was Pep doing when Rory Delap was doing the long throw? Was he still at Barcelona? Was he in Udinese? It's that long ago, isn't it? I'm not misremembering this.
It was the late noughties, wasn't it? Mid to late noughties?
Yeah, no, they would have actually been on opposite ends of the axis of football.
So he was already at Barcelona?
No, because a cold Tuesday night in Stoke was what everyone talked about. Messi was at Barcelona under Pep, which would have been Rory Delap throwing the ball at your head.
Yeah, so he was at Barcelona as a manager then.
He was at Barcelona for 2008. That's when he started. As a manager.
And Rory Delap, Stoke.
Delap was at Stoke from 6 to 13.
That's 100%. This is where it all came from.
So Pep is preparing for the Clásico and sticking to Jose, greatest beautiful performance of all time. And he's got one eye on going, oh, look at Stoke, what are they doing? What's that? Look at that. What's happening over there? And he's remembering it now.
It's 15 years later. There's no great memory needed. Like, that's a good broad.
He's remembering because of that saying, I guarantee that's thrown around all
the time. Yeah, I'd be interested in how much of Tony Pulis' Stoke he was watching.
Well, I'm just saying, he's a football historian. He was aware of what was going on. And now, 20 years later, he's still rejecting it.
He's an obsessive.
I'm not doing this. I'm going to die doing what I
want. He
doesn't
have the players to do it. He'd have to change his whole fucking squad.
A team of giants.
He may well have remembered them because there would have been a middle section of football at that time that he'd have no interest in. But Stoke was so the opposite of what he wanted to do. He probably was aware of what they were doing. It's so far away. It's a different sport. It's Shane Downing from outfield to in goal. It's different.
What's the point of what he's saying? What's he talking about?
He's just saying that essentially he's going to continue doing. He's not neglecting set pieces, everybody. Just, you know, cool your jets there, City fans who want Mikel Arteta to replace me. The ball and play stats, have you seen that? Was that in this piece or something somewhere else? Goals are down, the ball and play is down to 55 minutes. It's like, this is the worst football we've seen in decades. Is it though?
No, I don't think so. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm kind of having, it's all a bit of crack, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it was like people like 4 weeks ago saying the Premier League was dull. And since then, there have been great weekends.
I've enjoyed it immensely. I don't know.
It's good. You can't call...
Say people, you mean you, right? You
were. No, you were no, that. No. I was in the room, but it wasn't me.
Who was saying it?
Were you Vinnie Pert.
A lot of people were saying stuff.
Vinnie Pert.
Yeah, no, he did. He said he switched off.
He fell asleep watching the game.
Fell asleep watching Arsenal Liverpool or something?
Yeah.
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 It wasn't a great game.
The season's average of 2.6 goals per game is the lowest since 2017. The ball doesn't play for just over 55 minutes a match. Now, that's kind of Serie A levels when we were watching. They used to put those stats up and it would always be like, well, the ball doesn't even play for 20 minutes. What's going on here? I just think, so for me, the Pep thing that was interesting was, I will, until the end, continue to work. I think Pep is getting slowly drained of life by just this, like...
Well, he's just been passed out. So it's like he doesn't like it.
Other passed out by the history of football.
No,
is he Jonathan Wilson's theory yesterday of, you know, everyone has a shelf life, you know?
Yeah.
Brendan Rodgers' point where... Because Brendan Rodgers dresses like a manager did 10 years ago.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
With the suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's wearing suits anymore.
It's a wonderful point.
Was he not in a tracksuit recently enough for...
I don't think so. Every time I see him, he's in that grey...
Does Hertzler not wear...
Grey suit. With the Celtic tie.
Celtic tie doesn't look great, does it? It looks like I'm going to the funeral of a club official.
It's very Moisey.
As opposed to...
Moisey doesn't wear a suit, I don't think, anymore.
Moisey...
Tracky.
No, I think so, yeah.
Is Moisey in the frame for the Celtic job?
I was thinking that when the push notification came.
He can't. He's not leaving where he is. Jesus,
this is the Lampard Coventry thing, right? Well, so you leave Everton to go to Celtic.
They were booed off the weekend, you know.
Have you done
the job at Everton that he was supposed to do?
It's very
get
hard,
the new stadium.
It's
and
very
the,
hard to leave a job when it's going badly. You need to leave it when it's going well.
Well, the stench follows you around. Is that what you're saying?
Possibly. Depends what you do with the stench, you know. You can turn it into something.
We were talking about the Celtic job yesterday, right, with Tom English of the BBC. And I mentioned the odds. And Aaron McKenna, Big Ange, not taking phone calls just yet. And I mentioned Robbie Keane and Damien Duffer also. There were prices quoted for them. And the Herald say, Robbie is in the frame for the job at Celtic. This is Jason Burt's piece. Now, I think mostly it's focused on Kieran McKenna and Ange. But I don't know. Robbie, there's a great piece by John Fallon today just talking about Dermot Desmond. Not a man to be crossed. And he's got great details. Dermot Desmond was born in Mallow, lived there until he was six, and then moved to Dublin. McCroom in County Cork made him their first free man in 1998, even though he was only six when he left.
six at the time.
And also the role that he'd played in helping to refinance the debt that the FAI have. Buying Celtic for 10 million in 1999. Obviously, his friendship with Ferguson, which actually gave him the link to O'Neill, to be able to get O'Neill in. And that was the first great period, I think, of his ownership at the time. But there's just some interesting details here. Robbie Keane obviously played for Celtic in 2010. He stayed in touch with Desmond when he moved to LA Galaxy, both like-minded in their determination to better Irish football. It was 3 years later when he delivered the compliment about his status, adding, "Dermot is nice." I had dinner with him a few months ago in Washington.
Sorry, I thought it stopped there.
With his son, Brett. We were playing a game there.
Brett?
So,
interesting.
I think that, like, say it's 6 million and they're like, they don't want to pay 6 million. Is the buyout firm Ferenc Faris the same price? I don't know.
I wouldn't
say it's impossible that Robbie Keane is a Celtic manager.
I'm so upset if it's Kieran McKenna, you know, because it's such a good appointment. It just makes so much sense. But where's the Hollywood?
Oh, Kieran McKenna's Hollywood.
You know when I saw this?
No?
When I saw the back page of the Indo.
He's off, bro.
Keenan running for Celtic job. You little flirts. Because my heart went to flutter. And then the first word in the article by Jason Burt is Robbie.
So he did actually meet with Roy back when Roy was the assistant manager to Martin O'Neill. I met Roy with the manager, Gordon Strachan, a couple of weeks back. That was when they signed him in 2005. And He's a person that would be courteous and that would tell us if he'd made up his mind about going to some other team. So he was obviously involved at that point, like, to get him to sign. And then apparently he turned down the opportunity to leave Ireland and come and be the Celtic manager at that stage. So that would have been an interesting sliding doors moment in Roy's life as a manager.
I think McKenna would be a very good appointment, possibly the best on offer. But I would like to see Robbie. I'd like to see Roy. I'd like to see Duff.
It would be fairly, it's a strange kind of one, isn't it? Because you're kind of, it's all fairly transactional. Like, you're just basically getting the guy in, and if he's any good, he's gone in 2 years. And that's that is the model. Like, you literally, you know what I mean? No doubt about it.
Tell me one of the jobs in world football, apart from like the greatest jobs, that aren't that transactional.
Yeah, but it's a weird dynamic where we were kind of, you're saying that yesterday. It's like, it's not like you can have incremental improvements, or you're like Areola going into Bournemouth or something. You're like, oh geez, he's really putting himself up. It's going to be that strange thing where to do that job, you're going to have to dominate. So you're going to have to really have them absolutely humming. They're going to be a brilliant team in their kind of context, and then all of a sudden you leave because you want to take, you know, the Sunderland job. And you're like, oh, it's like, what, you're happy. You're going to go in and go to Premier League, mid-table mediocrity or whatever else, because it's a weird old dynamic. Come in here, be super successful, hopefully, if you are, and then leave for what seems on the face of it, but obviously isn't, a lesser life.
Yeah, it's true.
You're going to leave all this?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I am.
I mean, Neil Lennon went from Celtic to Bolton.
Yeah.
When he was boss.
He burnt out, though.
I think it's already been done. I think people have completed Celtic, mate.
Yeah.
You know, I think Ange Postecoglou won everything and won it in style. Brendan Rodgers, he did something unprecedented in his first spell, in his first season. They didn't lose a game. They hadn't done that in the 20th
Steven
century.
Then Gerrard came in and done it.
Then Stevie G. And then if you really want to go back to the start of this century, Martin O'Neill did all of that and also did really well in Europe.
It's just so hard to know what the success is. What, like, because you're trying to hire someone, I suppose, who can manage for a while. You don't have to keep doing this.
Like, I don't think Brendan Rodgers walked away from this, by the way. I just think that, like, I don't, you know, I look forward to the 25,000 words.
25,000 words
in The Athletic.
I don't even think The Athletic will give him the time of day.
No, they won't. They don't have it. They don't. Do they have it?
No, they probably have someone for Celtic and Rangers just because it'll pump some traffic. But like. Unless they get Rodgers himself, I don't know. Maybe the two. I don't know.
It's funny because normally the club wishes you the very best, and the statement is terse, and both sides agree that there's going to be silence here. But that was not the case in this instance. That's why it's so weird.
There have been managers who have achieved far less, who have got far nicer a send off than Brendan Rodgers.
Like, what's the upside for
what he did over his two spells is great.
Why would he do it?
Well, I suppose there's a man who has to prove nothing to nobody. He doesn't care. He just went by pure instinct there.
Yeah, but it, like, because Tom's saying yesterday, so it's a break in character.
Well, whoever gets this job next, don't think you can complain about anything you want.
Bear in mind, it's not entirely without precedent.
Okay.
Think about, so this again is in The Examiner today in John Fallon's piece. If you remember, there was the situation at Rovers, right?
Yes.
Puts the line together. Celtic is greater than any one person is how the statement finished. Our focus now is on restoring harmony, strengthening the squad and continuing to build a club worthy of its values, traditions and supporters. But Shamrock Rovers are the other club he holds a stake in, 25% in 2019. He paid $2 million for that. And part of the restructure was Kieran Medler taking over as independent chairman. And then tensions surfaced after that happened and John Martin ended up being the third chief executive in 7 years. And Desmond blamed the departure of John Martin, who subsequently gone on to get a big job in the FAI, on constant interference. In future, I intend to inform you, the members of Shamrock Rovers, when I become aware of actions taken by individual directors representing you that I believe to be contrary to the best interest of the club. At the next opportunity, I would urge you to carefully consider who is representing your shareholding on the board. So, you know, he's maybe he's got to that stage of life where he's like, I'm just going to tell everybody what I think from now on.
Yeah, I'm interested. Is it purely they're coming under a bit of heat and he wants to deflect it away from them, the fans?
I think if if members of his executive team who are going to be around into the future, who he's hired, are getting abuse and their family are getting abuse, and it's because Brendan is like, and you go and you meet him for 3 hours and he's like, oh yes, it's just, you know, I just had stuff, I was in the press conference, I needed to say something. He's like, well, that's not good enough. So I don't know.
Yeah.
We talk about Shane Daly?
Oh yeah.
Something else there?
Yeah, definitely. The theme of goalkeeping, huh? Not before we get into Shane Dowling, right? Well, what do you want to say about him first, right? This is a fairly unprecedented, right? Looking into the history of him as a goalkeeper. 32 when he went into the goal for the first time. Is it the love of the game that brought him back into any position at all, or do you have an intrigue about goalkeeping? But he could have walked away and never played again and people would still be fascinated by this guy.
After the injury,
yeah, he didn't need to do anything ever again.
No, I suppose
2018 feels like it belongs to him
a little bit. Like we were having that conversation last week about addiction to the game,
yeah, with Shane O'Donnell. Yeah, yeah, definitely. And there's some really interesting bits about Shane Downing in goal, talking about how he get angry standing there watching the play, and he's not an angry person. So stuff that we're fascinated by to talk to. We have the theme of goalkeeping around this show, you know. Goalkeeping, a thing that we don't really talk about that much. Why is that?
We talk about it all the time.
Why is that? When's the last time you talked about goalkeeping?
Well, when did we talk about, like, left backs?
Roll the clip. There's none. That's the way. There's no clip. We've never talked about them, right?
We had, like, your aunt David Priest on not that long ago talking about it.
David Priest. I haven't seen or heard from him in years.
He was on. He was great. He was talking about Bynder. It's been this season.
This season?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah, you might not have been here, but he was on.
He was there for that.
He was great.
I don't think I was there for that.
Always talking with keepers. Non-stop.
I have a whole note on goalkeepers here. There's so much to say about them, you know.
But he's only a goalkeeper because he just can't play outfield now.
Yeah.
We'll not get it. It's not a... Yeah. He's not found his true calling.
Yeah. True.
In some ways, he's almost underestimating the position of goalkeeper, such was the ease with which he's taken to it.
Yeah, it's difficult for these goalkeepers. You know, they can get because, you know, they're always searching for more. You know, they want more. You know, they want to get involved in play. Fabio Barthez, he wants to get involved in play. Saw Galway United's goalkeeper Brendan Clark at the weekend. Nearly scored from a free directly last Friday night. Directly went for it. Directly, Paul Robinson said, went for the free kick, only to be tipped over by Luke Dennison. Now, I guarantee you, if Brendan Clark had scored that goal, we'd be talking about a goalkeeper.
If he scores tonight against Shamrock Rovers, it's tough to win in the league. We'll be talking about it a lot.
8 o'clock tonight, Shamrock Rovers can win the league.
Yeah.
Well, 10 o'clock. That's what a goalkeeper needs to do, you know. And Shane Downey went back there, and it's like, oh, sure, anybody can do this.
Yeah, no, I don't think.
Anybody can do this. This is easy. It's unbelievable. It's an insult to all these people. I was thinking of this really smooth segue here. Of talking about San Lemons and Shane Dowling, right? And I had this theory. You'll love this, Arthur. This will energise you like nothing else, right? San Lemons, right? He concedes that goal against Danny Welbeck, that free kick, the weekend, went right into the centre of goal, roof of the net. And you'll say to me, he started quite well. And you'll agree with that statement, I'm sure. San Lemons has been very solid for United so far, coinciding with United's unprecedented run of form. They've never been this good in 20 months, this 3 in a row. Run that they're on. However, when he concedes that goal against Danny Welbeck, he should have saved that one, right? And there's a moment right afterwards where Tom Watson, much maligned by Sunderland supporters, of course, got them up, scored the winning goal in the playoff, goes to Brighton, made his debut for Brighton at the weekend.
All right, I didn't realize
United,
it. Okay.
Yeah, and has a shot in the edge of the box, and Lamin saves it. Now, this is how fickle the role of a goalkeeper is. If that had squirted under Lamins' body and went in, Massimo Taibbi.
Oh, straight away.
Massimo Taibbi.
Get him out.
This isn't a take.
Cancel him.
Massimo Taibbi. That's what would have happened. He would have been, everyone would have said, no, he can't play for United. He can't, right?
He's bottled
Massimo Taibbi.
That's such a mad.
I thought about this at the time.
Scenario.
I have it here on my phone, right? So it has to be true. I have it written down. Taibbi got man of the match against Liverpool. Man of the match. But all that anyone remembers about him is Matt Letizia. And he played one more game after that. What was that game? Chelsea. They lost 5-0. He ended up playing four games to United. Four games, that was it. Gone. United paid a pretty penny for him that summer. I think they paid about 5 million. Back in the day when 5 million meant something.
Did he recover?
It meant something to you. He went back to Italy. Went straight back to Italy. I think he was all right after that.
Right.
But I'm telling you, like, that's how, when you're a goalkeeper for Manchester United, look at Onana. Shipped off to Turkey. Yeah, never to be seen again.
Onana didn't make one mistake and he was shipped off to Turkey. Onana had like two seasons with repeated mistakes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But so that's not the same.
Lamens started, right? Started very well, very solidly. Yeah. The first big howder you have at United. There's question marks like nothing else. And I was sitting there thinking, if that Watson shot had squirted under his body, that was the end of him.
It's not the end of him.
I thought it was the end of him.
No.
I thought he was going to be Taibbi again. Because why would it be the end of him, right? He comes in, not many people have heard of him.
No.
Comes with a good reputation. No one knows this kid. Still nobody knows this kid. This guy would walk down Grafton Street, walk by him. Yeah. He's the first choice goalkeeper for Manchester United.
Yeah.
He's still on trial for the world, Arthur. He's still on trial. If that had gone under his body, I'm telling you, he was gone.
He's not
but
gone.
But it didn't.
But he wouldn't
and
be
I'm
gone.
Sure he'll be fine.
Like, Bayinder wasn't gone. He had a lot of mistakes.
Bayinder was never signed as the first choice goalkeeper.
I don't know if Lemons was either as such, but Onana wasn't gone after one mistake. De Gea wasn't gone after one mistake. All these guys got repeated mistakes. I also would suggest the difference to Taibbi. I'm just looking there, I'm going to check the dates. He was like 28, 29 when he signed.
What age is Lemons?
23.
He's a kid.
Same
like it's not. And I also think the whole idea of like, well, if that had gone in, we never was in danger of going in.
Well, that's okay. But I live in this parallel universe where it did go in. And I'm talking about it, right? The David De Gea on his debut at Community Shields, what happened?
Was David De Gea on pad for ages?
Was, a little squirter under the body.
Yeah.
Edin Dzeko.
He got away with it.
It does happen, right? Why did he get away with it?
Because they spent 30 million on him.
Yeah.
A little kid.
Didn't know choice.
Comes in.
And he was like,
and he was physically
he was away.
He was a child. He was a child. Wayne Rooney says, this guy's not going to make it at all.
He had won the Europa League.
They let him develop, right?
He had won the Europa League.
I think Lamens, they had won the Europa League.
Yeah.
So he comes in with a bit of renown. Okay. So Taibbi, at the time, I was like, who's this guy? They're paying a bit of money for him. So he must be good. Lamens, who's this guy?
No, I don't think this guy must be good.
This guy is a great, he's good in Belgium there. He made the most saves in Europe. This guy must be good. But we haven't seen him, so we don't know what he's like. You can't tell me that everyone saw
the only thing I never forgot this, because they only signed Taibbi because Bosnich got injured.
Baza.
Yeah.
But they paid a pretty penny.
It was like 4.5
million. And I don't say pretty penny often, but I've said it for him several times. I'm just saying this parallel universe.
Beware.
So do you want to go back to Shane Dowling?
Beware the squirters is what you're saying.
Careful with squirting, because it will ruin you.
I'll go back to Shane Dowling if you want now.
I suppose it's a second retirement. You know, he's gone again. But it's the most remarkable return. Like, I'm sure it's happened in some.
To Colm's Never Go Back yesterday, even though Brendan Rodgers had an amazing time.
Did he?
He got the team out of the group stage of the Champions League.
An amazing time. Because look at him now.
Well, we'll see.
He's sad.
I think that people forget quickly how things end. Like, I was assuming that Duffer is never going to get a job again in football because the way it ends at Shells and the fact that Shells have been brilliant since. But actually, that's not what happens. Everybody's like, oh, I want a bit of that for my club.
Kenny Dalglish went back too.
Limerick lost another in quarter final at Dublin, so, you know.
Didn't
go well.
His fingerprints are not in that at all.
It's a remarkable story.
It's not even that the second time, and we can go back to St. Downing with this. It's not even the second time is bad. It's that the second time is grand. It's nearly worse.
But I think
Didier Drogba is the ultimate example. His last touch of a football. But his last touch of the ball.
Someone made this point. He came back and he won the league.
First time around.
But he won the league when he
won
came
the
back.
Champions League. Doesn't matter what you do after that. This is the Celtic thing. It does not matter what you do after you kick the ball that wins the Champions League.
I know.
In an away game.
If it doesn't matter, then against Bayern.
He came back and he won the league in 2015.
Yeah.
He lives in London as a millionaire. It's a great time.
Amazing life.
Great time, yeah. But it's the romantic, you know. It's the. How many people ended on a high? How many great sports people ended their career
very few, on a high? That's the whole point. It's a big game tonight, obviously, is Shamrock Rovers, 8 o'clock kickoff against Galway United. They need to just get this done, right?
But if they lose tonight...
It's inevitable.
The other thing, unbelievable.
But the goal difference is handsome for him.
The thing John Fallon's writing about, does it Rory Keating played 45 minutes for the Cork under 20s against St. Pat's at Bishopstown on Saturday. There's a possibility they're going to have Seanan McGuire and Rory Keating ready for the FAI Cup final. I think they've played 8 games together since they both signed. Obviously, Keating did his Achilles in April against Derry, and who knows what would have happened. Maybe these two playing together
Imagine they had those two and then Cathal Sullivan.
So there's a good chance that they might actually have them for the FAI Cup final. And in the meantime, we're due a video message from John Temple, who obviously has been issued an ultimatum by his other shareholders in Dundalk about surrendering his shareholding in the club to them. He owns 65%. Kieran Kilduff apparently is in the reckoning for the Waterford gig, even though apparently Dundalk said that he had a contract, but that contract, I don't know if... where is it? So we'll see. There's a possibility Cork City could be Cup champions.
Hey, listen, buddy, I appreciate your enthusiasm.
And Premier League by the end of the month.
Yeah, I appreciate your...
By the end of next month.
Positivity.
That'd be an amazing outcome to the season, wouldn't it?
You're intrigued by the Cup final particularly.
Well, Shamrock Rovers are in a swoon. It's a proper swoon now. One game, you know, they took their eye off the ball. Two games, like, that's grand. Three games, you're like, oof, form is not great.
No, but they did lose to... Like, they lost to Shells, a very informed Shells, and they went up to Derry.
Yeah, who had everything to play
for. Who have
been
the bridesmaids for a few years now.
Yeah.
But, you know, bridesmaids are essentially part of a wedding, so they're very good.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're losing to mugs here. You know what I mean?
No.
They have the Connacht duo to finish up here, and they got to get something against Galway or Sligo. By the way, the culmination of the league is class because all the games start at the same time this weekend.
And there is half-hour kickoff.
Half-hour kickoff for everything. And there's loads to play for.
Treaty United and Bray Wanderers are going to meet in this weekend's First Division promotion playoff final. Bray beat UCD 3-2 at the Carlisle Grounds, a 4-2 aggregate win, but Treaty ended up needing extra time at Cove in the second leg of their tie last night to win 2-1. So they'll meet and then we'll end up playing off against whoever finishes second bottom in the Premier League.
Yeah. I love that format, by the way. The promotion relegation. It's great. It always means that there's something to play for all the time.
And then the only other thing is that we haven't talked about is the rugby, which is on this weekend.
Yeah, it looks like Jack Crowley's going to start.
Yeah,
we'll get DSNs, Darcy McNaughton, Green 15, Team of the Week, and his Ireland team for the aforementioned match.